Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everyone, to the third and final hour of tonight's broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. We're coming to you live from AM 1380 WLRM studios this Saturday evening, March 13th, also broadcasting to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and on the Internet at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. I want to thank my good friend and co-host Keith Alexander for being with us for the first 2 hours tonight. Keith and I covered a litany of salacious, jaw-dropping stories. They're stories that Eddie the Bombardier Miller and I will be recapping at the tail end of tonight's show. Eddie the Bombardier Miller is now in studio with me as we welcome our first and only guest of the evening, Officer Jack McLam, who is the highest decorated officer in the history of Phoenix, Arizona. He is also a fellow talk radio host and a good friend of ours. So, Eddie, with that being said, the table being set for our illustrious guest, I'll let the first question be given by you.
Well, good afternoon, Jack. How you doing, fella? I heard you're kind of sick tonight.
Hey, brother Eddie. Yeah, I'm not feeling my best
tonight. Can you hear me okay now, Jack?
I've got high blood pressure.
Oh, you got high blood pressure. I've suffered with that, too. I sure hate that. I really do.
Yeah, and it's pretty tonight. I've got diabetes and high blood pressure. So, anyway, if we could just do a half an hour, I'd really appreciate it.
Well, that's great. You know what? Anytime you feel sick and have to go, Jack, you know you know this. You don't have to do that because I fully understand how that is. If you feel like you've got to go, just let us know, okay?
Yeah, because I was going to say,
okay,
having high blood pressure and coming on this show probably wouldn't be doctor's orders. But nevertheless, we appreciate your sacrifice, and we'll try to make this quick. Eddie, let's get right to it and let the man go mend.
Will do. Right. Well, Jack, I heard Sister Karen said that you want to talk about tonight about how it's a worldwide movement now. We thought, you know, I, like yourself, thought that we were the only people in the world and here in the United States that were being flooded by illegal aliens. It used to be the blacks that were being used against, that the Marxists were using against the United States the citizens, you know, and now that the Mexicans are coming in and just a tidal wave. And they're trying to just engulf us, to supplant American whites and to create a lot of racial strife to get us divided, you know, like conquer and divide. Well,
right.
Sister Karen said that you had some stuff to tell us about what's going on in New Zealand and Australia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and also here in the United States now. Yeah, in New Zealand and Australia. When I was down there speaking to their police and soldiers, I was invited down, and they paid my way down there. And I spent 2 weeks in Australia and 1 week in New Zealand. And the people told me that the UN had a plan to give total control of these two lands over to the Maori Indians in New Zealand and the Aboriginal people in Australia. And it was interesting that they had already, the UN had already given the Maori Indians in New Zealand and the Aborigine Indians in Australia total control over all the water on the ground. If you had a mud puddle, it was under the control of the Maori Indians or the Aborigines. If you wanted to have any water on your land, like have a little pond or something, you had to go to the Indians and ask them if that was permissible or not. And and that's what they're trying to do here too, brother. They right here in Idaho, they're giving more and more power over to the Indians here. For example, now if we want to burn twigs on our property or burn trash in a burn barrel, you have to call the Indian Nation and get their permission in order to burn on your land, and they don't have to give it. And now they're trying to pass secretly in most of the states where there are Indian tribes. They're trying to secretly in the Senate and the House, the State House and the State Senate, to secretly pass a bill that gives the Indians police power over you. And if that happens, folks, if you get arrested by one of the police, Indian police, they take you to the Indian courts, and you don't get to go to American courts, and you have no constitutional rights whatsoever. And they tried to sneak that through here in Idaho, but we found out about it. Some good people let us know. And we've been raising Cain with our elected things, the Senate and the Congress here in the state. And sadly, Butch Otter, our governor, is for it, you know. So he's a traitor to the American people. And the way they're doing it is going back 200, 300 years and using the old treaty land to give the Indians power over the white people that bought that land 200-300 years ago, and giving them the police power over you, and the sheriff can't do a thing about it. Well, he can, because the sheriff is all-powerful, you know, but that's what's going on right now. They're trying to pass a bill here in Wisconsin and other states, too, secretly, without the people knowing about it, so that the Indians have control over you. Now, what we've found, Eddie, is that when the Indian police have power over the white man, they are very, very angry with the white man and do things that are terrible, I mean criminal, to the white man. And that's why they take you into Indian courts today if this thing passes and you don't get any constitutional rights whatsoever. If you're arrested for any reason whatsoever, like burning on your property without calling the Indian nation to ask permission, then you go to an Indian court. But we've had terrible abuses here. Even without that law passed, we've had terrible abuses against the people when they were going through the Indian nations reservations here, and they get caught going too fast, speeding or something like that, then they're terribly abused. And so it's going to be a terrible situation. But this is what the UN wants. See, the UN has total control over the Indians, but not total control over us. So they're trying to pass these laws secretly, and your listeners need to get with your elected things there and find out if they're trying to pass this secretly in their state, and find out and fight it tooth and nail, because it's not good. The Indians really don't like the white man, and for good reasons, but when they get police power over you, they're going to do some horrific things to the people, the white people.
But Jack,
they're using the old treaties.
You mentioned where you live
years ago.
You have to get permission before you can burn trash in a barrel. And even though you don't live on an Indian reservation land, that you still have to do that?
Well, they're going back 200-300 years to the old reservations that have been sold to the white man for 200-300 years, and they are not Indian reservations anymore, but they're saying that they are, so that they have control over most all the people in these states that have Indian tribes, because years ago, 200-300 years ago, the Indians pretty much had most of the property in these states, and it was their land. And the white man came in and kind of pushed the Indians aside onto reservations, and the white man bought the land off the Indians, the government of the United States bought the land off the Indians and signed contracts with them. But now they're going back. They don't want to use the 1900 treaties. They're going back 200-300 years to have police power over all the people that are on the old reservations of 200-300 years ago, you know. So
well, Jack, you know what?
Gentlemen, hold up right there. We got to take a break. We've got Officer Jack McLamb for one more segment tonight, and we will elaborate a little more on this amazingly disturbing story that he is bringing to our attention tonight. Again, only on radio programs such as this would you get the complete, unadulterated truth, and we
Don't
appreciate Jack McLamb for bringing it to us. We're going to let him do it a little bit more right after this.
Right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, folks, James Edwards and Eddie the Bombardier Miller here with you as hosts for this third hour. Our featured guest for the night is on with us right now, Officer Jack McLamb, the radio personality and former police officer from the city of Phoenix, Arizona, and he is bringing to our attention an amazingly disturbing story. He has provided some great detail of that story during tonight's first segment. We only have a couple of minutes left with Officer McLamb. He's a little winded this evening, and we certainly, certainly appreciate him coming on our show under the circumstances that he's faced with tonight. Eddie, just to kind of bring the story to summation, then me and you are going to recap the entire show during the last couple of segments tonight. You were making drawing the parallel between what's going on up there in the Northwest with what the Indians are trying to do with what's going on in the Southwest in an area where Officer McLamb is certainly very familiar, Arizona, for instance, with the La Raza movement.
Correct, and they're claiming the ownership all the way as far east as Oklahoma and parts of Arkansas, if I'm not mistaken. The Mexicans, they said that they're going to take that, and with the full consent of the Obama administration. This latest news I've heard. I was going to ask Officer McLamb if he knows anything about that. That kind of ties in with the turn it over to the minorities in the so-called minorities in the so-called Native Americans, which, you know, I was born here in America, so I consider myself a Native American, but I was going to get Officer McLamb to expand on that if he knows anything about that.
Oh, yes, I know about Aztlan. It's called Aztlan, and it's a term from history, and it's a pagan term, Aztlan, for the Southwest belonging to Mexico at one time, but they sold that property to the United States. And I was invited to go speak in Washington District of Criminals here about 15 years ago by a Jewish organization. And I went to Washington, D.C., out on the Capitol steps, and spoke to a group of about 10,000, 12,000 people. And we had a weekend there, and the FBI had set up buses and with blacked-out windows where they were filming us the whole time we were there and getting our license plates numbers because we were American patriots. We loved the Constitution, and that's what it was all about. This Jewish organization invited me to speak, and they were all over us, the FBI and everything, for the whole weekend, recording and videotaping everything. And then when I got back to Phoenix, I saw in the news that the communist Chicanos por Aztlan, the communist, we're going to have a big rally across from the Times Mirror in Los Angeles in the park there, and the New Black Panther Party, which is a communist organization, was going to have a big good gathering there to talk about how to take back the United States, how to take back the Southwest for the Chicanos por Aztlan. And I got there, and I was dressed up like a reporter with a camera around my neck and everything, and I went in, and there was a large tent there, and I went in the door, and this big guy, big Black Panther, new Black Panther Party guy said, "Officer McLam, what are you doing here?" And so I was shocked when he knew who I was, and I said, "Well, I came to find out what you guys are talking about." And so he invited me in, and they were communists, and we had 2,000 Chicanos por Aztlan in military uniforms marching in cadence very, very well, by the way. They've been trained very, very well. And then the new Black Panther Party was there, another communist organization, and they were all talking about overthrowing the United States and raising their fist and the communist sign of raising their right fist, and all day long they were talking about overthrowing the United States violently.
And all this on sovereign American soil.
Yeah, and guess what? There was no FBI watching them, filming them at all. None.
And that does not surprise. What's sad is that surprises me in no way whatsoever.
That's right. We have a communist system now in America, and Abomination is a communist Muslim, and he's leading us into a third world nation here in America. He works for the Communist Zionist Council on Foreign Relations 100%, and he has all of his 32 czars are communist Zionists, and they belong to the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, and the CFR, and he follows the CFR 100%. They tell him what to say when he gets up to speak, and they tell him what to do, and his main job is to bring us down to third world nation status here so we can be merged with the third world nations under this new world order. And so he's doing a very good job of that. But the Chicanos por Aztlan were talking violent overthrow of the southwest part of the country and killing a lot of white people and chasing the rest out of that area. And there was no FBI agents. They were not being watched at all. During the day, two cops walked by down the sidewalk, and they didn't seem to be paying any attention at all. Two police officers were, but there was no vans with video cameras, and I didn't see anybody on top of the Times Mirror building watching with binoculars like they were watching us in Washington District of Criminals when we had a Patriot group there.
Well, you know,
so
Jack,
it just shows you that they want this communist takeover in this country. And the communists get full reign, and they get to do whatever they want to do in this nation, and nothing is done about it.
Well, and this is something you saw with your own eyes and heard with your own ears taking
right.
place in an American city on our sovereign soil. You have these draconian, Orwellian, Zionist-inspired hate crimes laws, which literally makes it a criminal offense to be a Christian, and
yes.
People can go to jail for preaching against homosexuality, for instance, and you know that's something that they will enforce and send you to jail for.
Oh yeah.
And then on the other hand, you've got actions taking place such as this, and not only is it not does it not raise a hair on the local law enforcement, it is encouraged by the people in the very highest halls of power in Washington. Officer McLam, we've got about 45 seconds left. Any websites people can go to get more information?
Well, yes. We have a website for police and military against the New World Order, but it's much easier to get to than that by just putting in www.jackmclam, MC, capital LAMB, just like a lamb, .org or .com. That's www.jackmclam.org or .com.
Officer McLam.
That's our website.
Absolutely. Folks, check it out, jackmclam.com. Officer McLam, thank you for coming and staying with us for as long as you did. Go get some rest, my friend. We need you in this battle, and we will talk to you again soon.
Okay. God bless you guys for all you're doing for God and country. I appreciate you very much.
Thank you for the
Jack,
compliment.
Take care of that blood pressure, brother.
Same to you. We'll be back with more right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta
get out of this place. Folks, you know, I'm looking over at the rundown of the topics that we've had on the table tonight. And I tell you, Eddie, I don't know if we've ever had a show in which we've covered so many topics that have absolutely made my eyes bulge. I mean, these are not just topics that make me upset or make me happy or elicit some sort of emotion. These are just topics that stories almost too unbelievable to be true. And if it weren't for all of the facts that exist out there that prove them to be true, I would think that some of this stuff is just outright hoaxes, like the Mexican drug gangs or some of that information that Jack McLam was bringing to our audience's attention for the first half hour.
You're right, James. It seems so unbelievable. You know, if you haven't been in the movement as long as you, me, and Keith, and Bill, we wouldn't be able to believe it. I try to tell people things, not even this wild, at church and other friends, and they look at me with wide eyes and like I'm some kind of a lunatic. And I mean, who would have believed this 5-10 years ago? Who would have believed that the FBI would hound and harass people like, people who want to go to Christian churches,
yeah,
people that go to constitutional meetings? You know, Keith, and you and Keith were talking about this tonight under manufactured consent, and that ties in with the liberation theology. And Keith and you hit it right on the head. These people, and like, you know, Keith, Brother Keith went back to John J. Calhoun. Went back to Calhoun saying that these people, and it's primarily the Jews, the Zionist Jews, they will not be happy until we're exterminated. They want the white Gentiles dead, exterminated, because they can handle these other races. You know, were it not for the white people, and like Keith has pointed out in the past, were it not for Jewish brains and the so-called civil rights movement, the blacks would have never gotten,
Eddie, you're right. I mean, that was a movement that was funded and organized by Jewish power and influence, and that's just a fact of the matter that no one can dispute. I mean, of course, you know, some of the black players in that take credit for the success there, but, I mean, Congress aided and abetted the movement, and it was financed by wealthy Jewish folks. But, you know, and obviously it would appear that their goal and with a lot of these actions is the dispossession of the European-American society in this country, but I'm telling you,
it's scary. That's scary as hell tonight.
We always have to give the disclaimer, and it should be given that it is not all Jews that are a part of this.
Oh no, no.
But there is a certain Zionist cabal that, if you read some of their documents, such as the Torah, for instance, it's just something that they say in so many words. But, you know, Jack McLam was on fire tonight, Eddie. You know, the fact that, and you were bringing this up, and I have to interject from time to time or I'll forget, because
right,
you also brought this up earlier in the show when you called in between breaks when Keith and I were on. The ADL, which is a Jewish-run organization, and the SPLC, which is a Jewish-run organization, train police officers to target people who vote for Ron Paul, people who support the Constitution Party as domestic terrorists, yet you have – and I know this meeting Jack McLam was referring to, it took place in 2005 where they were actively calling for the death and overthrow of white America from this Aztlan meeting out there in the Southwest.
They do it. They're claiming land all the way, as far east as Oklahoma, probably 350 miles, no more than 400 miles west of us, land up in Oklahoma. But, you're exactly right. What you pointed out, these people, and people, mistakenly will call Obama a Muslim. Well, Obama was not put into office by Muslims. This ties in everything you and Keith were talking about in the first hour. It's the same old people. The Jews in Chicago, and I'm not talking about the little Jews. I'm talking about what my dad used to talk about, the big Jews. My dad used to say, and my dad wasn't a very well-educated man, but he was really smart. He said that the big Jews will eat the Gentiles first. And he said when they're finished eating and digesting the Gentiles, then they eat the little Jews.
Well,
and that's just, down home corn pone talk, but it's true.
Here's the question. The question has to be asked: if their sole purpose is what they say it is, to stamp out hate and intolerance, where were they the day Aztlan was meeting and was calling for heads to roll? Where was the hate crimes, then? And
they're busy funding these people. You know what? I was going to say, the Jews in Chicago are the ones that funded Obama. Obama lived on the same street. He lived literally next door to one of the largest synagogues.
Saul Alinsky was a big player
in
all that. And again, McGlam said it right. Rahm Emanuel, all of his chief advisors are Zionists. Keith says it. Why do we oppose the Zionist Jews? Ideologically speaking, well, it's because they are liberal, and what do liberals like to do? Well, they like to be subversive, and they like to change everything from the Christian nation that our forefathers gave us to some sort of a jacked up, tyrannical manifestation of their own viewpoints here, and none of that is conducive to the traditions that we share, to the heritage and culture that we have here in this country. You will never hear me or you, Eddie, advocate the violent overthrow of any country. You'll never hear us advocate that people in other nations must live as we would want them to live. But, what you will hear us do is defend the right for white Christian Americans to exist in the land of our fathers the way we were taught to live and the way we want to live. And, we don't want to change the rest of the world, but we don't want our country to be changed either. And you look at some of these stories, and this is what I want to – I miss the old days when we were doing this show from the very beginning, because we would get in here and roll, as Keith said, for 3 hours without a commercial break. And I love the fact that this show has grown and we're a commercial success now. But it was so much fun to be able to go into the studios way back when and just – man, me and you had some good times. And they're still available on the archives. You got to go into the archives. Me and Eddie would have a little, porch talk, as Bob Whitaker would call it. It's just like two people sitting on the back porch carrying a conversation. That was the show, and those were good shows.
I love them. But, getting back, the same people that are financing these radicals, the Aztlan, La Raza, and there's another one, La Raza, and LULAC. All the new Black Panther organization, the same people that are financing those people finance Obama. Obama, people like, we're not going to church. Well, we talk about this all the time, the Southern Baptists and the Protestants, they worship Israel. But the same people that are financing these radical American haters, they're the ones that put Obama in office. Goldman Sachs, one of the largest financial institutions in the world, they're the ones, they gave the lion's share of the money to Obama. Obama had more money he could spend. Goldman Sachs, George Soros, another, Zionist Jew, one of the richest people in the world, they're the ones that financed and put Obama in office. And, they're saying that the Jews, they don't try to hide it in Chicago, James. They come out and they say, Clinton, the Jews say this. They say, yeah, Clinton was the first black president. Obama is the first Jewish president. He was put into power not by the Muslims but the Jews. People keep slinging dirt on the Muslims, wanting to bomb and kill every man, woman, and child in the Arab nations. But it's the Zionist Jews that put him into power. And it's the same Zionist Jews that are financing these organizations we're talking about, like La Raza. And see, part of the agenda for this, what I've been able to understand, they do want to turn over a large part of the same people that finance, you know, Obama talked about. They want to turn over a large part of the United States to back. They want to give it back to the Indians, and it's primarily back to the Mexicans. And they want to do that to get us to submerge what's left of the United States into this North American Union and gradually merge us into this New World Order.
Well, and this is why they're doing these things. And, you know, we're making mention of the fact that a lot of people who are behind these subversive movements are, in fact, Jewish. And that is in no way a slight. It's just a fact. I mean, you know,
it's fact.
People might hear this program and say, well, that's anti-Semitic to point out that they're Jewish. Well, I mean, you got to know who you're talking about. You got to know who's who and what's what. I mean, if people call us a bunch of, you know, white folks at the cesspool, well, I don't consider that a slight or necessarily a compliment. It's just, it is what it is. And, you know, everything that Eddie has mentioned here are things that they take credit for, not only take credit for, but gloat about in their own publications. The fact
that they
financed and elected Obama, the fact that they run Hollywood, the fact that they, you know, have done this and done that and infiltrated this and taken over that. I mean, these are things that in their own publications they are mighty proud of. And, of course, we pointed out and people would say, well, that's hate speech. Well, it's not at all. It's just factual speech. And whether it's good or bad is, I guess, would depend upon your political persuasions. But nevertheless, you can't say that anything we're saying on this program is palpably untrue. And that's what Pat Buchanan's even said about it. So we'll be back with more right after this. Got to take a break. We're going to wrap it all up when we come back. Sit tight, everybody.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we got to get out of this place. Girl, there's a better.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. A couple of quick announcements here as we are now into our final segment of tonight's three-hour lightning-fast radio program. I tell you, it's the fastest 3 hours in radio here in the political cesspool. Don't forget daylight savings time is tonight. We spring forward, so set your clocks accordingly. And I want to remind you also of the fact that we are working with Hutton Gibson, Mel Gibson's father, on a couple of projects, and he has hitched his wagon to our radio program in so much as not only did he appear with us for a great and celebrated hour back in January, but he has donated a case of his books to us, and he is going to be offering hand-signed copies, autographed editions of his book, The Enemy Is Still Here, to anyone who donates $100 or more to this radio program between now and March the 31st. So if you want an autographed copy of Hutton Gibson's book, which deals on the infiltration of the church, Eddie and I were just talking about the institutions that we have had that have been taken over. Hutton Gibson writes about the takeover of the church in his book, and that book is yours, autographed, for a donation of $100 or more, which helps keeps the show on the air. You can make that safely and securely online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I want to thank Jack McLam for coming on tonight. Great interview with Officer McLam, which was set up by none other than my co-host, Eddie the Bombardier Miller. And Eddie, during the first 2 hours tonight, I tell you, as I was saying a moment ago, I don't know if we've ever had a show in which we covered so many stories that were just seemingly unbelievable. And I want to get a quick take on some of those stories from you as we do a little rapid-fire recap of the entire program here in the last 10 minutes. Eddie, Keith, and I, and remember to keep it clean, because some of these stories will definitely elicit a dirty reaction. Although, as you said, you know, there's one thing we have never done on this radio program, or even in private. We have never advocated violence. We have never advocated illegal overthrow of anything. But you asked the question during the break, if we did what Aslan did at that meeting Jack McLam attended, how long would we last? And I guarantee you, before we could leave the studio tonight, the FBI, CIA, ATF, they'd be on us like white on rice if we did anything like that. And rightfully so. But, I mean, where are they when the anti-white bigots are doing it?
They're nowhere to be found, and we kind of mentioned that, alluded to that earlier. Oh, you know, the globalists who were running Obama, you know, Obama's just a puppet. If he doesn't do what he's told to do, he will wind up, you know, floating down the river. They'll pull a JFK of him, and he knows that.
I don't think there's any doubt that he's gonna, you know, dance to the strings of his puppet master. He has no choice unless, as you said, you know, and we don't have time to get into the JFK assassination, but nevertheless, well, you're right. Happens, but anyway,
yeah. You know, and just to throw one more thing in there, I'd like the audience to know, you know, it's getting so bad that they're, you know, we're becoming under so much discrimination. And did you know in Austin, Texas, and I'm sure it's going to be coming here if it's not already in the neighborhood near you folks, in Austin, Texas, the Mexicans don't even have to pay their utility bills. If they fall behind on their utility bills, do you know the power and light companies have been ordered? They cannot turn the powers off of these Mexicans. And, you know, and another thing to go right along with that, guess what's going to happen to the utility bills to the white folks there? If they've already been told to expect next year their utility bill is going to double, James, and that's because they can't collect it from these Mexicans, so they can't do it free. They've got to get the money from someplace. So that's just another instance of how our people are just being almost exterminated, you know, financially if not physically. But right. If we were to, you know, we've got about 12 minutes left in the show. If we were to pull some of that Aslan stuff, man, we wouldn't even get to finish this show. The cops would be out here. But, you know, I can't, I call myself being up on top of my game, what's going on. But I had no idea that, you know, the first I had heard of the Mexicans coming in, the drug lords taking over some of the finest parks in the world.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I mean, listen. It's one thing, and it's bad enough. Well, it's just unfathomable, actually, that the United States won't patrol its own borders. But we're talking about not even being able to control its interior, and not just any part of the interior, the absolute very best of the interior, the national parks, the gems of this country, and we're letting it being taken over by violent third world illegal aliens who are growing illegal drugs on it and running it like a military camp, complete with armed guards and tripwires. I mean, listen, you know, where is the American military? I mean, they're over in Iraq, they're in Germany, they're patrolling Israel's borders, they're everywhere but where they should be. But I mean, this was a story that was sent out by the Associated Press, so there's no doubt that the government knows that this is happening. And why aren't they doing anything about it? I mean, Eddie, you have to be onto something. I mean, surely they want the absolute destruction of this country,
no,
or
they
else
do.
They would
they
not
do.
Allow things like this to happen.
But I tell you, James, if they want to, if we bring our troops home, James, I guarantee you, you could take a couple of battalions of Army Rangers, you know, a regiment of the 82nd Airborne, maybe a regiment of Marines.
You could clean out that rabble in a week.
It would take them 10 days to
clean
those national parks.
You said 10 days, I said a week. I mean, you could patrol.
Maybe a week. Maybe, you know, but you know what? They wouldn't even have to do it. If the Mexicans knew the Army Rangers were coming in there, you couldn't shoot them out of cannon and get them back to Mexico that fast. They would be rolling out of there, buddy. I'm not kidding you. They were not going to fool with the Rangers and the 82nd Airborne. I guarantee you, the Marines.
Well, but again, America allows, and isn't it interesting what the government, what laws, we truly live in a nation, we've talked about this, they pick and choose which laws to enforce. And then they make up laws, like hate crimes laws, which are so twisted that no one can understand them. And they have dual meanings, and the hypocrisy there is just crazy. But I mean, we live in a nation that picks and chooses which laws to enforce. They don't enforce the border laws. They allow Mexican drug gangs to grow and manufacture and sell drugs in our national parks. That's not a problem. Even the people, the rangers in that article were quoted as saying that, you know, they're not going to be able to do anything to stop it because they're underfunded, they're undermanned.
They're too much firepower against them.
Right.
You know, Mexican drug lords are better armed than they are.
Well, absolutely, and that was the case on the border, which is why they were all too happy to have the Minutemen down there in 05. But nevertheless, you know, this country is just criminally corrupt, as Joe McCutchen always says. And then you got, I mean, you know, the stories about the three white school teachers being dismissed for following the curriculum. The guy wants $10 million for being pulled over for having drugs in his car and for following too closely. You got the two lesbians causing an entire county to cancel its prom.
I mean, it's not funny, but it just, I mean, it's just so wild. You just, it seems like you're in a dream. You think, well, surely I'm going to wake up, this isn't going on. But who in the world would have thought of this was going to come to pass just 25, 30 years ago?
Eddie, when you were born, I don't want to date you, but
go ahead.
as Keith says, America was sort of at a cultural zenith prior to the Brown versus Board of Education decision in 1954. When you think of American culture in the 1950s, you know, it's, yes, so it was after the fall of the Confederacy, so we were already well on our way to our destruction. But still, you look and you think about the doo-wop music and the soda pop fountains and all that stuff, the poodle skirts. You think of the South and white America in 1950, and it is a beautiful heavenly place. This country still had a great moral foundation, and you compare this silhouette of a nation that we have left in 2010 back to the America of 1950. The war was over. We were prosperous. We were manufacturing. We were industrialized, self-sufficient. A lot of bad things were coming up and already beginning to roll, but you compare America 1950 to America 2010, it is not the same country, and that was not a long time ago. You were alive then. My dad was alive then. That's scary that things can fall apart so drastically in such a relatively short period of time. I mean, within one lifetime.
James, you can go ahead and date me, fella. I don't mind, son. But you know what? See, I can remember, and I went to public schools, I can remember when we said the Lord's Prayer. Every morning we said the Lord's Prayer, we said the Pledge of Allegiance. In the homeroom, we start off in the homeroom, each person we had, they'd pick a student each day, we would have to read passages from the Bible. And guess what? It was very common to see people with the dreaded Confederate battle flag on jackets, on motorcycle jackets, blue jean jackets. We were proud of it.
Well, Eddie, let me say this, because we only got 30 seconds left, because you brought up two excellent topics. I can even remember being in elementary school in the 80s singing Dixie right after the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, that was in the 80s, okay? And then, you know, you fast forward to the 90s, we were talking about Itawamba County canceling their prom. Well, next door in Pontotoc County, where my grandparents are from, they were sued by the ACLU a couple of years ago for reading Bible verses over the school intercom. So that is a perfect example of how far we've fallen from one generation to the next within the lifetime of many of our citizens and many of our listeners. Well, that's it for the show tonight. For Eddie Miller, Keith Alexander, Winston Smith, and Bill Rowland, I'm James Edwards. We'll see you next week. God bless you and keep you, ladies and gentlemen. And remember to live life the way we do, without retreats or indoor apology. Good night, everybody.
In the Political Cesspool, to learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.